This week's Parsha is Parsha's Vayakel, and we are going to focus our Shir on chapter 35, verse number 30. There the verse says, Vayomer Moshe b'nei Yisrael, Moshe tells the Jewish people, Ru, see, Koro Hashem b'shem, Hashem proclaimed by name, Bezalel ben Uri, Bezalel the son of Uri, ben Hur, the son of Hur, Lemate Yehuda, to the tribe of Yehuda. The next verse continues and says, Vayemale oiso ruach hokim, and he filled them with the spirit of Hashem, bechochma with wisdom, bitvuna with insight, uvedas and knowledge, uvechol melocha and with every craft. Meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Jewish people that Hashem appointed Bezalel, and Hashem filled Bezalel with wisdom, that he will know how to do everything. The Gemara in Brachas Daf Nun Hei Amud Aleph 55a brings down Nev Rav Yitzchok, Eim Amid Im Parnes Ala Tzibur, that we do not appoint a leader over the community, Elohim Ken Im Melochim Betzibur, only if we consult the community. Because it's written, Ru Kor Hashem B'Shem Bezalel, that Hashem called by name Bezalel, and this is written already in chapter 31, verse number 2, where there Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Re'ei Korosi B'Shem, see that I called by name Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur Lamata Yehuda. Rabbi Yitzchok explains that there was a conversation between Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu, that Hashem asked Moshe Rabbeinu, Hagin Olecho Bezalel, do you think the Bezalel is worthy of this undertaking, meaning you think he could do the job? So Moshe Rabbeinu answered him, Master of the Universe, if you think that he is worthy, then for sure I think that he is worthy. Nonetheless, Hashem said, even though I think he's worthy, go tell the Jewish people and ask them if he's worthy. So they answered the same thing that Moshe Rabbeinu answered. They answered, if for Hashem is worthy, then for sure for us it's worthy. And therefore, Bezalel was appointed as the main architect for the Mishkan, for the tabernacle. The question is that I understand that the Jewish people don't know the greatness of Bezalel, because it's possible that the population doesn't know exactly what Bezalel is. But clearly Moshe Rabbeinu understands that Bezalel had this wisdom about him. And if the Bezalel had this wisdom about him, when Hashem asked Bezalel, Hagin Olecha Bezalel, do you think Bezalel could take this undertaking? Moshe Rabbeinu should have answered, yes, simply like that. That I do believe that Bezalel could take this undertaking, because clearly Bezalel had this special wisdom and Moshe Rabbeinu could see through that wisdom. Then why does Moshe Rabbeinu answer to Hashem that if you think that he's worthy, then for sure he's worthy? He should have just said that yes, Bezalel is worthy of taking this undertaking. I understand that the Jewish people don't know how to judge, and therefore they could say that if for Hashem it's worthy, then for us it's worthy. But Moshe Rabbeinu clearly knows what Bezalel is, then why does Moshe Rabbeinu give this vague answer that if for you it's worthy, then for sure it's worthy? Moshe Rabbeinu should have answered, when Hashem asked him, is Bezalel worthy? He should have answered, yes, Bezalel is worthy. The Gemara continues and says, Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmani Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmani said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that Bezalel al Shem Chachmosa Nikra, that Bezalel was called Bezalel because of his wisdom. And the Gemara relates an incident that this happened. The Gemara says that when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to tell Bezalel on chapter 31, verse number 7, to do as Oel Moed, the tent of meeting, which is a tabernacle, the Esor and Lo Edus, and the ark, to put the tablets in them, Pesakapoires and the Kapoires, and then Veskol Kli Oil, and then all the vessels of the tent. And clearly, if you follow the chronology that Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, then he told him to build the tabernacle first, the tent first, and then build the ark and all the vessels. Nonetheless, when Moshe Rabbeinu told Bezalel, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Bezalel to do the Aron, the ark first, and then the vessels, and then the tabernacle, and then the tent. Bezalel asked Moshe Rabbeinu that this goes against the norm of construction, because normally a person builds a house and then he puts the vessel inside the house. And if you want me to build the vessels first, where I'm going to store the vessels when I'm finished. I can't put them in the house yet, in the tent yet, because I don't have the tent. Maybe Hashem told you to first build the tent and then put the vessels in it. On that, Moshe Rabbeinu answered Bezalel, maybe Betzel Kel Ha'isa, maybe you were in the shadow of Hashem, Ve'odato, and you knew what Hashem told me? Meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu admitted to Bezalel that he should first build the tabernacle and then build the vessel. Mefarshim ask, if Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hashem to first build a Mishkan, the tabernacle, then why did Moshe Rabbeinu decide to tell Bezalel to build the Aron first? And as a matter of fact, Tosfos brings down that if you look in Parshas Truma, we see that the first vessel that Hashem commands us and gives us the design is the Aron. Then Moshe Rabbeinu theoretically was right by the Aron. And Tosfos answers that since we see in Parshas Kisisa in chapter 31 that Hashem told him to build the Ohel Moed first, therefore clearly Hashem wanted to build the Ohel Moed first. But nonetheless, we have to understand, if that is true, why did Moshe Rabbeinu tell Bezalel to build the Aron first? The Shittah Mekubetzes asks this question, and the Shittah Mekubetzes answers that Moshe Rabbeinu, in fact, knew that he should build the Mishkan first, but he wanted to tell Bezalel the opposite, to see what Bezalel's reaction is going to be, in other words, to test Bezalel. And once Bezalel told him that the logic dictates that we should build first the building and then build the vessel, therefore Moshe Rabbeinu told Bezalel Kel. It could be that it wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu testing him for himself. Moshe Rabbeinu was testing him in front of the people, so the people will realize the greatness of Bezalel. Sure, they accepted Bezalel because Hashem told them to, but nonetheless they don't know his wisdom. But once he discloses to Moshe Rabbeinu his logical thought, then clearly Bezalel is a wise person, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu proved to everybody that Bezalel was wise. We are going to try to explain what does it mean when Moshe Rabbeinu told Bezalel, Shema Bezalel Kel Isa, maybe you were in the shadow of Hashem. And we're also going to try to explain the uniqueness of Bezalel, that only he is the one that could do the tabernacle. And to start that, Sefer Shemeroish goes to the Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Ayin Hei Amud Aleph, 75a, where the Gemara there says, Zekenim Shebe'oisodar, that the elders of that generation, meaning the elders that saw Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua, Amru, they said, Nei Moshe Kipnei Chama, that the face of Moshe is like the face of the sun, meaning it shines like the sun, and Pnei Yeshua Kipnei Levana, that the face of Yeshua is like the moon, Oiloi Loise Busha, Oiloi Loise Chlima. Woe for that shame, woe for that disgrace, meaning that it's a shame that in such a short time the generations were diminished, that Moshe Rabbeinu's light was like the sun, and now Yeshua's light is only like the moon, which is a reflection of the sun. Sefer Shemeroish asked, how is it possible that the elders of that generation would be talking like that, and they would embarrass Yeshua? Theoretically, it seems like they are embarrassing Yeshua. And another thing is that in other generations, we clearly don't even see somebody that shines like the moon. Then what embarrassment is that to Yeshua? Clearly, Yeshua was a great leader. Then why would they say that? In truth, we do find in other generations that the light shone on the rabbis, because the Medrash Shabbah in Keheles, beginning of Periches, writes down Chochmas Odom Toir Ponav, that the wisdom of a person will light his face. That's a verse in Keheles, chapter 8, verse number 1. The Medrash says there that once a Gentile saw Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilah, and he saw that Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilah's face was shining, and he tells Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilah that the reason your face is shining must be because of either these three things: either you land on interest, or you are drunk from wine, or you grow pigs, because these three traits shows that you don't have any worries, meaning you don't worry about your parnasa, because since you land on interest, then the money becomes replenished. And also, since the pigs don't cost you much because they eat all kinds of garbage, then you are making money by pigs. And if you drink wine, then your countenance becomes shiny. So you must be doing one of those three things. Rabbi de Bar Ilar explains to him that those three things did not happen. The one that you said, that we grow pigs, a Jew is not allowed to work with non-kosher animals. Second, that you said, because I lend on interest, a Jew is not allowed to lend on interest. And the third thing that you said, because I'm drunk in wine, that can be because when I drink the four cups of wine in Pesach, my head hurts me until Shavuos. Then the non-Jew asked him, then why is your face shining? So he answered that Chachmas Adam Toir Panav, that the wisdom of a person will light up his face, meaning since I learned Torah, I learned the wisdom of Hashem, therefore my face is shining. So we see that there are people that the face is shining. True, we don't see anymore anybody who is described as shining like the moon, but nonetheless we see that certain Talmid Chachamim had their faces shining, and we are going to try to explain what is this idea that Moshe Rabbeinu's face is like the sun and Yeshua's face is like the moon, and through that we are going to come back to Bezalel. To start to explain this, we'll first go to Bamidbar chapter 27, verse number 16. There we are talking about the Bnoi Selavchot, the daughters of Selavchot, that they approached Moshe Rabbeinu and said that our father only left daughters, why should we not get inheritance in the land? And Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to give them inheritance. And right afterwards, on verse number 16, Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem that he should appoint a leader on the people, that they should guide the people. Meaning that since Moshe Rabbeinu was going to die, that he should appoint a person to guide the Jewish people. Rashi explains what is this connection with Bnoi Selavchot. Rashi says that as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu heard what Hashem told to the daughter of Selavchot, that he should give them their father's inheritance, Moshe Rabbeinu thought, it's time that I should worry about myself and my children, that I should ask that my children should also inherit my position, meaning that they should be the leaders of the Jewish people after me, and they should teach the Jewish people Torah. Rashi says that Hashem answered Moshe Rabbeinu, not the way you thought came to my mind. I thought, since regarding Yeshua, it's written, Lo Yamush Mitoch Oil, he would not leave the tent, meaning he was always next to you, therefore Yeshua is the one that you serve. In truth, this Rashi is also a Medrash Rabbe, but the Medrash Rabbe is much more harsher and much more clearer on Moshe Rabbeinu. The Medrash Rabbe in Parshah of Aleph, Simen Yudalet, says that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, your children will not inherit because Banecho Yoshvu Lohem, your children said, Veloy Osku Batoira, and did not engross themselves in Torah learning. But Yeshua, he served you a lot, and he gave you a lot of honor, and he used to get up and go to sleep in your house of assembly. He's the one who did the benches. He's the one who used to spread out the mats the students should sit on them. And since he served you with all his might, then it is good for him to serve the Jewish people. And therefore, it's written, Kach es Yeshua, take Yeshua, that Yeshua is going to be the leader after you. The question that we are going to try to answer is, what does it mean that Moshe Rabbeinu's children did not learn Torah? Are you going to tell me that Moshe Rabbeinu did not fulfill with his children what's written in the Shema, Velimatem Oisom es Beneichem, that should teach the Torah to his children? And another thing, if the children of Moshe Rabbeinu did not learn Torah, then how is it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu is asking that his children should take over his position? Clearly, if they didn't learn Torah, they can't take over his position. Then what is Moshe Rabbeinu asking from Hashem? To explain in a different way, what Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, and Rashi brings down, that Yeshua lo yomish min ha'oil, Yeshua would not leave from the tent, and what is the deeper meaning of those words, Sefer Shemirosh explains, based on the Gemara, in Eruvin, Daf Nun Dalet, Omed Beis, 54b. There the Gemara explains what was the order that Moshe Rabbeinu taught the oral law to the Jewish people. The Gemara there says that first Moshe Rabbeinu learned from Hashem, and then Aharon came in and Moshe Rabbeinu taught Aharon. Aharon got up and sat at Moshe Rabbeinu's left side. And then the children of Aharon came in and Moshe Rabbeinu taught the children of Aharon. And then they got up and sat in Moshe Rabbeinu's right side. And then the elders of the Jewish people came in and Moshe Rabbeinu taught them. And then the Jewish people came in and Moshe Rabbeinu taught them. Then comes out that Aharon heard it four times from Moshe Rabbeinu, because when Moshe Rabbeinu taught him by himself, then when he taught his sons, then when he taught the elders, and then when we taught all the Jewish people, and the children of Aharon heard it three times, the elders heard it two times, and the Jewish people heard it one time from Moshe Rabbeinu. Then the Gemara continues that when Moshe Rabbeinu got out and left, then Aharon taught the Torah to the Jewish people, and then when Aharon got up, the children of Aharon taught the Torah to the Jewish people, and then when the children of Aharon got up, the elders taught the Torah to the Jewish people. Ends up being that everybody heard the Torah at least four times. The Gemara says that from here, Rabbi Elazar learned that you have to teach your student at least four times. And the Gemara continues, we have a Kal V'Chomer, a clear logical deduction. If Aharon, who learned directly from the mouth of Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the most superior of teachers, and Moshe heard it directly from Hashem, nonetheless, Aharon was required to listen to the shiur four times in order to understand it completely. Hadyot bipi hadyot, an ordinary person from an ordinary person, for sure has to learn it four times. According to this, says Sefer Shemerosh, you understand the greatness of Yeshua, because since Yeshua never left the tent, that means that Yeshua was present when Moshe Rabbeinu taught Aharon, and when Moshe Rabbeinu taught Aharon's children, and when Moshe Rabbeinu taught the elders, and when Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Jewish people. Comes out that Yeshua heard the Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu at least four times. And not only that, Yeshua also had the merit to listen to the questions that were asked from Moshe Rabbeinu, and he heard how Moshe Rabbeinu answered the people, how he analyzed, and he heard always how Hashem spoke through Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, Yeshua was able to achieve such a high level that he was higher than anybody else. True that the children of Moshe Rabbeinu learned Torah, but they only learned Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu one time, as the other Jewish people. But since Yeshua would never leave the tent, then Yeshua heard it many more times than anybody else. Therefore, Yeshua merited to take the position of Moshe Rabbeinu after Moshe Rabbeinu. As a matter of fact, the Gemara in Menachos, Daf Tzadik Tes, Medal of 99a, says that in the name of Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Omer Rabbi Yonason, that the Pasuk in Yeshua, chapter 1, verse number 8, where it says, Lo yomuch sefer ha-Torah zeh mipicha, that this book of Torah is not to leave your mouth, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani says that this statement, it's not a mitzvah, not a commandment, and it's not obligation, but it is a blessing from Hashem. Hashem saw that Yeshua loves Torah so much, because it's written that the servant Yeshua ben Nun lad would not leave the tent. Hashem told Yeshua, Kol kach chaviv molecho divrei Torah, you love Torah so much, because of that, I give you a promise that the Torah will not leave your mouth, that you will not forget anything. Meaning that Yeshua received this reward because Yeshua would not leave the tent. And the reason that he would not leave the tent is because Yeshua loved Torah so much that he always wanted to hear directly what Moshe Rabbeinu is learning, what Moshe Rabbeinu is doing. Therefore, because of that, Yeshua merited to get the blessing that he won't forget the Torah. And he also merited that this is the reason why he is the one that's going to take over after Moshe Rabbeinu. Another reason why Yeshua merited to fill Moshe Rabbeinu's place is based on the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Peiches Amud Aleph 88a. There it's a famous Gemara. The Gemara says, Dorash Rab Simoi, that Rab Simoi expounded and said that when the Jewish people said, Naase V'Nishma, that we will do and we will hear, that is written on chapter 24, verse number 7, before the Torah was given, 600,000 angels came down, and each angel had two crowns, and they put two crowns on the Jewish people. one crown for saying Nase that we will do, and another crown for saying Nishma that we will hear. And Rashi explains that those crowns came from the radiance of the Shechina, meaning they were shining crowns. But when the Jewish people sinned in the golden calf, then Hashem sent 120,000 destructive angels, and they removed the crown. As it's written in Shmos chapter 33, verse number 6, Vayisnasnu b'Yisrael es edyom me'ar Chorev, that the children of Israel were stripped of their jewelry in Mount Chorev, which means that they were stripped from their crowns. The Gemara continues, Omer Rabbi Yochanan says, Vekulon zocha Moshe natolam, and Moshe Rabbeinu merited and received all of them, meaning he took all of them for himself. All the crowns becomes to Moshe Rabbeinu, because the very next pasuk, after it's written that the Jewish people remove the crowns, it's written Moshe yikach es oil, and Moshe will take the tent, which it can mean that Moshe Rabbeinu will take the tent. It means Moshe yikach, Moshe took those crowns as oil to the tent, which means that Moshe Rabbeinu took those crowns of the Jewish people and brought them to his tent. Or you could say, as Rashi explains, that the word Aholoi comes from the word Hiloi, which means shining, which means Moshe took the shining and brought it to the tent. And Rashi continues and says, Vehu ayo kirun oirponov, that in the end of Parshas Kisiso, where it says that light shone from Moshe Rabbeinu's face, that Moshe Rabbeinu's face became radiant, it became radiant from all the crowns of the Jewish people. Which means that the light of Moshe Rabbeinu was radiant because Moshe Rabbeinu received all the lights of the crowns of the Jewish people. In regards to the sin of the golden calf, Rashi in chapter 32, verse number 20, explains that there were three punishments for the people who sinned. First, if the person was warned and had witnesses, he was killed by the Levites. 3,000 people died. And then if there was witnesses, but there was no pre-warning, Hashem killed by a plague, as it's written in chapter 32, verse number 35. And then there were people that didn't have any witnesses and they were not warned, and yet they did the golden calf. Those people drank the water and they were tested like a sota, and they died by hadroiken, which is the filia, which is a choking disease. Then according to Rashi, it comes out that anybody who actually sinned in the golden calf, either by warning or without witnesses, that person died, either by the Leviim or by Hashem or by this disease that killed the person. Then the question is, why is the golden calf considered a sin for the whole Jewish population? Clearly, the rest of the Jews who did not die, they did not worship the idol. Then why are they guilty? And the answer is, based on the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Nun Dalet Omed Beis 54b, where the Gemara there says, "Call me she'efsha limchois la'an she'beisov v'loi micho." Anybody who has the ability to protest against the members of his household when they do something wrong and he doesn't protest, then nitvas la'an she'beisov, he's punished for the transgression that the members of his household do. And the Gemara continues, "Ba'an she'iroi." Somebody who could protest against the people in his town and he doesn't do it, then nitvas alan she'iroi, then he's punished for the sins that his town make. And the same thing, b'chol olam kulo, if you could protest against that sin being done in the whole world and you don't do it, then nitvas al kol olam kulo, then you are liable for the transgression and you're punished for the transgression of that nation. Then comes out that since the Jewish people could have protested in regards to the golden calf, and they did not protest, therefore they were guilty for the golden calf. True, they did not die, but nonetheless they were considered guilty on the golden calf. Therefore, they lost their crowns, because since they were guilty, they lost their crowns. In Parshas Mishpatim, chapter 24, verse number 12, Hashem calls Moshe Rabbeinu and tells him, "Alei Elai Ahara, come up to the mountain, and be there with me, and I'll give you the tablets and the mitzvah that I wrote to teach them." Then on chapter 24, verse number 13, it's written there, "Vayakom Moshe v'Yeshua mesharsoi." Moshe and Yeshua, his servant, got up. "Vayal Moshe lar Elokim," and Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the Mount of Hashem. Rashi is bothered What does it mean, Moshe Rabbeinu Yeshua, his servant, got up? So Rashi says, Lo yodati mativu shel Yeshua kan. I don't know what Yeshua is doing here. Because Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to come up the mountain. So then what is Yeshua doing with Moshe Rabbeinu? Clearly only Moshe Rabbeinu went up. So Rashi says, Voimer ani, and I say, that Yeshua was a loyal student and servant, and he was accompanying his teacher and waiting for his teacher at the foot of the mountain until he returned 40 days later. So much so that when Moshe Rabbeinu returns on chapter 32, verse number 17, after Hashem told him that the Jewish people did the golden calf, Vayishma Yeshua es kol ha'am bereyoy, Yeshua heard the sound of the people and is shouting, Vayomer el Moshe, and he tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Koy milchama b'machna, that I think there is a sound of war in the encampment. Yeshua doesn't know they are doing the golden calf. He has no idea because he didn't go back to his home for these 40 days. He's waiting for Moshe Rabbeinu at the foot of the mountain this whole time. And Yeshua thinks when he hears a noise that there is a war in the camp, until Moshe Rabbeinu tells him that this is no war and this is a sound of distress and the people are doing some bad things. But nonetheless, we see clearly from here that Yeshua was not the encampment. If Yeshua was not part of the encampment, then Yeshua did not know that the Jewish people did the golden calf. Therefore, Yeshua cannot be guilty of not protesting of them doing the golden calf, since he had no idea they did the golden calf. Therefore, the Jewish people received the crown for Naaseh v'Nishma, but they lost it because they did not protest on the golden calf, and because they did not protest, they were just as guilty as the people who did the golden calf. But since Yeshua was not part of the encampment, he didn't know that the Jewish people did the golden calf, therefore Yeshua still had his crowns for the Naaseh v'Nishma, because he didn't deserve to have his crowns removed, because he didn't know to protest. He had no idea the Jewish people are doing the golden calf, therefore he did not protest. Then comes out that the only person in the encampment who still had his shining crowns was Yeshua. Therefore, Sefer Shemen Rosh says, now we could understand the Gemara in Baba Basra, where the elders of that generation said that the face of Moshe Rabbeinu is like the sun, because since Moshe Rabbeinu had the crowns of all the Jewish people, his face shone like the sun, but Yeshua was like the moon, because Yeshua only had the crowns of Naaseh v'Nishma, but nonetheless, his face shined like the moon. But the elders realized that because they did not protest in the golden calf, they did not earn or they lost that light. Therefore, the elders said, Oy lo ilo iso bisha, oy lo iso chlima. Woe for that shame, woe for that disgrace. Meaning they weren't talking about Yeshua, trying to embarrass Yeshua. When they saw that Yeshua and Moshe Rabbeinu had the lights that they were supposed to have, and they lost the light because of their sin in the golden calf, then the elders of the generation cried and said, woe is for us that we lost these beautiful crowns because of our sins. But Chas v'Sholom, they were embarrassing Yeshua. They were just commenting that they should have had this light, because every time they looked at Moshe and Yeshua, they were reminded of what could have been if they hadn't sinned by the golden calf. Sefer Shemen Rosh brings another beautiful Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Pei Ches, Amud Aleph 88a, where the Gemara there says in the name of Rabbi Elazar, that when the time that the Jewish people said before Naaseh and then Nishma that we will do and then we'll hear, came out a heavenly voice and said, who disclosed to my children this secret that the angels use? Because the angels first do and then they hear, and the Jewish people also did the same thing. Rashi explains that the angels are prepared to do what Hashem wants even before they hear. Not like normal servants which first have to hear what the master wants and then they go to do. The angels are ready to do Hashem's bidding even before they hear. And Mefarshim explained this based on the idea that is written in Yuma, Daf Kof Ches Amud Beis 28b, where Omar Rav Yudah Marav, that Rav Yudah Marav says that Kiyam Avram Avinu es kol ha-Torah kula ad sheloi nitna, that Avram Avinu kept the whole Torah before it was given, Vafilu iruvet avshilin. Even the rabbinic laws like iruvet avshilin, he also kept. And the Gemara brings a proof, the pasuk in Bereshis chapter 26, verse number 5, where there it says that I'm going to bless you, Yitzchak, Ekev asher shama Avram bekoili, because Avram Avinu listened to my voice, v'ishmor mishmarti, and saved my safeguards, mitzvoisai, my commandments, chukoisai, my decrees, v'toiroisai, and my Torahs, in the plural. How is it possible there is plural? Rashi explains that it means to say the written law and the oral law, which means that Avraham Avinu kept all the mitzvahs before it was given. Sefer Anaf Yosef brings in the name of the Beir Maim Chaim that this is possible because we know that we have 248 positive commandments and 365 negative commandments. And we also have 248 limbs in the human body, and we have 365 sinus, which means that every positive commandment is equivalent to one limb, and every negative commandment is equivalent to one sinu. And once a person does something, then the body of a person is fed, becomes complete, and therefore you're able to spiritually understand what you need just based on your limb. If you are on a high level, then you're able to understand each limb, what it needs in order to sustain itself, what mitzvah is required to sustain it, and therefore you're able to even do the Torah before it was given. That's how Avraham Avinu could have kept the Torah before it was given, because he was so attuned to his body, he was so connected to Hashem, that he realized every sinew and every limb, what it requires in order to become healthy, in order to become alive, and therefore he was able to get the Torah before it was given. And Sefer Shemeroish brings the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kof Mem Vav Omed Aleph 146a, where there the Gemara says that when the Nachash, when the primal serpent seduced Chaya, then he put impurities into her, and these impurities pass through generations of men. We are talking about spiritual impurities. Israel she'omdu al Sinai, the Jewish people who stood at Sinai post kozom masam, they're able to remove that impurity, which means that once the impurities that happened because of the sin of Chava came out, that means that we are able to get in tune to our bodies. Our spirituality was increased and we're able to get to a higher level. Therefore, says Sefer Shemeroish, then we'll obviously be able to get in tune to all our limbs and all our sinews. Then we're able to say Na'aseh V'Nishma. We're able to act like Avraham Avinu, which Avraham Avinu was ready to do the Torah before it was given. So too, we got to the level of understanding completely what every limb needs, and therefore we're able to say Na'aseh, we will do V'Nishma, and we will hear. And once we said it, Hashem put two crowns over our heads, one for Na'aseh and one for Nishma. But once we sinned in the golden calf, now we lost the ability to do the Na'aseh v'Nishma, because now we're not so attuned anymore to our bodies, because we lost that high level of spirituality. Therefore Hashem took out the crowns and told us that we don't have that ability anymore. We lost the Na'aseh v'Nishma. And Sefer Shemeroish explains that this is the idea, what we say in the Agada, Ilu kervanu lifnei Har Sinai, if Hashem would have brought us close to our Mount Sinai, v'lo nasan lanu es haTorah, and He wouldn't give us the Torah, dayenu, it would be enough. And Mefarshim asks, what good is it for us to get to Sinai if we don't receive the Torah? But based on what we just said, that once we got to Sinai, we lost the impurities from the sin of Chava, then we were able to attune through our limbs the whole Torah, then it wasn't necessary for Hashem to give us the Torah, because we were in such high level that we could understand the Torah before it was given. Therefore, we're saying that just by us getting to Sinai, that would be enough. But once we sinned by the golden calf, we lost that ability. Comes out, according to this, that Yeshua, since Yeshua was still in a high level because he did not sin in the golden calf. He still retained the Na'aseh v'Nishma, and he still was able to understand what Hashem wants before Hashem asked for him. In the same way that the Jewish people could perceive the whole Torah before it was given when they came to Sinai, Yehoshua could do this even after the sin of the golden calf, since he was not involved in that sin. Therefore, because Yehoshua would not move from the tent, Yehoshua now had both crowns of Na'aseh v'Nishma, and Yehoshua had the ability to know what Hashem wanted before he actually expressed it, like the ability that the Jewish people had before the sin of the golden calf. And therefore, Yehoshua was appointed as the next leader of the Jewish people. Sefer Shemeroish brings the Yerushalmi in Peah, Perek Aleph, Aloch Aleph, where the Yerushalmi says that Bezalel also had this level that he could know what Hashem wants before Hashem expressed it. Because the verse on chapter 38, verse number 22, it says, Uvetzalel ben Uri ben Hur lemata Yehuda, Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, to the tribe of Yehuda, also as kol asher tzivo Hashem as Moshe, did everything that Hashem commanded Moshe Rabbeinu. It doesn't say everything that Moshe commanded him. It says everything that Hashem commanded Moshe Rabbeinu. The Yerushalmi says, "Lelamdoch, it comes to teach you, shafilu dvorim shleshama mepi raboy, even things that he didn't hear from his rabbi Moshe Rabbeinu, his kimo datoy kemoishe nema leMoshe miSinai. It was as Hashem said at Sinai, meaning that Bezalel was able to perceive what Hashem wanted before he heard from Moshe Rabbeinu what Hashem had told him. Meaning that Bezalel was so in tune to his body that he could perceive what Hashem wants before Hashem actually expressed it. And the question is, from where did Bezalel get this ability? What merit did Bezalel have to have this ability? And Sefer Shemeroish brings the Chasam Sofer to answer this question. The Chasam Sofer says that in chapter number 32, verse number 5, there it says, after all the gold got together, Vayara Haroin Aharon saw, Vaiva Mizbeach Lefonov, and he brought an altar in front of the golden calf, Vaikura Aharon, Aharon called, Vayoimri says, Chag LaHashem Mochor is going to be a holiday to Hashem tomorrow. The Chasam Sofer notes Rashi. Rashi says, what did Aharon see? So Rashi says that Aharon saw that Hur was killed because Hur was rebuking and was protesting against the people and they killed him. Meaning, before Moshe Rabbeinu went up the mountain to receive the tablets in Parshas Mishpatim, on chapter 24, verse number 14, he said, V'hine Aharon v'Hur imochem, Aharon and Hur are with you. Mi baldvorim igash aleihem. Anybody who has a case, who has a problem or a grievance should approach him. And when the Jewish people wanted to make the golden calf, they approached Hur to make that. And Hur rebuked them. And Hur protested. And they killed Hur. And Aharon saw that Hur was killed, Rashi says. Then Aharon decided that it looks like they are going to do the golden calf no matter what. Then rather I do the golden calf and Hashem should blame me and not blame the Jewish people. The Chasam Sofer says that since Hur gave up his life in order that the Jewish people should not do the golden calf, he gave up his life protesting the golden calf, then it's only proper that his grandson Bezalel should be the one to build the Mishkan, the tabernacle, which is an atonement for the golden calf. Sefer Shemeroish continues and adds that according to this, theoretically, Hur was also a person that did not deserve to have his crowns taken away from him. Because the only reason that the Jewish people lost the crowns is because they did not protest when the people did the golden calf. But Hur clearly protested when the people did the golden calf. Therefore, Hashem decided that his grandson, Bezalel, is going to get those crowns. Those shining crowns that belong to Na'aseh v'Nishma, that will do and will hear, was given over to Bezalel as a reward for Hur for protesting against the golden calf. Therefore, since Bezalel inherited those shining crowns, then Bezalel had the ability to say again, Na'aseh v'Nishma, that we will do, we'll hear. And as we mentioned, that Nasa V'Nishma is a level that you know what Hashem wants before Hashem actually says it, because your body is so in tune because of the holiness and your spirituality that you could tell what Hashem wants before it was given. Therefore, Bezalel had the ability to know what Hashem wants before Moshe commanded him to do. And therefore, when Moshe Rabbeinu told Bezalel to first build the Aron and then build the Mishkan, and Bezalel said, maybe Hashem told you the other way around, Moshe Rabbeinu answered, Shema Bezalel Kei Lohisa, could be you were in the shadow of Hashem. It's really because Bezalel was able to achieve what Hashem wanted before Hashem expressed it. Then he really was in the shadow of Hashem. And according to this, Sefer Shemer Roy says that when it gives the genealogy of Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur, that Bezalel is the son of Uri, the son of Hur, it could be, it means to say that Bezalel is ben Uri, is a person of light, meaning Uri from the language Or, not that Uri is the name of a person, but Uri comes from the language Or, light, which since Bezalel had the crowns, he had the light. How did he get this light? Because he's Ben Hur, because he's a descendant of Hur. Because Hur deserved those lights, because he protested the golden calf, and therefore he shouldn't lose the shining crowns of Nasa V'Nishma, therefore those shining crowns were given to Bezalel. And now Bezalel is Ben Uri, he has those lights. And according to this, we could now answer our original question. Our original question was, how is it possible that when Hashem asked if Bezalel is worthy, Moshe Rabbeinu answers that if you it's worthy, then for us it's worthy. If Bezalel was in such a high level, how is it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu did not know the level of Bezalel and he didn't answer to Hashem when Hashem asked him if he's worthy, that yes, he's worthy? And the answer is that originally Hashem said Bezalel is going to be the person before the sin of the golden calf. On chapter 31, verse number 2, there it says, Re'ei, see, Karasi b'shem Bezalel ben-Uri b'chur lemata Yehuda. I called in the name of Bezalel ben-Uri b'chur the tribe of Yehuda, and I will fill him with the spirit of Hashem. Which means that Bezalel, before the sin of the golden calf, was in the same level as every other Jew. Because every other Jew at that point had the crowns of Nasa V'Nishma, then Bezalel didn't look any more special than any other Jew. Therefore, when Hashem asked if Bezalel is worthy, Moshe Rabbeinu said, for you it's worthy, for me it's worthy, because I don't see anything special yet about Bezalel. But after the Jewish people did the golden calf, now Moshe Rabbeinu could clearly see that Bezalel is special, because Bezalel now has the shining crowns of his grandfather Hur, which symbolized the Nasa V'Nishma. Therefore, Bezalel could actually foresee what Hashem wants before Hashem actually tells Moshe Rabbeinu. Then clearly now he is in a great special level. But before, since the whole Jewish people were in that high level, then you could really not tell how special Bezalel was. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu answered Hashem that if you believe that Bezalel is worthy, then clearly he is worthy. And Hashem Yisburach should help that in this week, where we're reading about the building of the tabernacle, that we should merit to have Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuild, b'mheiro b'yomeinu, amen.